The Dialogue with Clement Maniatela.
It's not just another roundtable discussion.
Let's walk the talk on 702.
What's going on with the DA? I want us to talk about John Steenhuisen's / the DA's posture towards smaller parties. And the question I'm asking you this morning is whether you understand where he's coming from. Does that make sense to you? Is it justified or do you find it divisive? I told you earlier what my thoughts are. I think this is actually quite an illiberal approach. Because smaller parties have as much the right to contest elections wherever, just like bigger parties. And South Africans must be the ones that make up their minds on which party they're giving a chance to. Or do you look at this and think, oh, why are smaller parties taking offense? If they can take, this is the nature of politics. So smaller parties, if they can't take the heat, they must get out of the kitchen. Is that the posture that you take when you look at what John Steenhuisen has been saying about smaller parties? He says these new parties that have declined to join the multi-party charter are dishonest and selfish. He's described the political parties such as the Patriotic Alliance, Rise Mzansi, and the Good Party as political mercenaries and the Western Cape's most significant threats. He believes that these parties merely create a distraction for voters, which could open the door for a possible ANC-EFF alliance in the party's stronghold province of the Western Cape. Do you agree with that assertion? I think it's very clear that the DA is facing pressure from maybe the PA. There are also new parties that are targeting the Western Cape, like Action SA and Rise Mzansi, who all appeal to the DA's traditional liberal voter base. But to call small parties, you know, popcorn parties that are just there to cause a distraction, hell-bent on ushering in corruption, is quite wild. I've got some analysts I've invited to join this conversation. And then at 11:30, I'm going to bring in the smaller parties that the DA really seems to have issues with. I wonder if this posture towards the smaller parties is helping or destroying the DA. Is it appealing to voters? I mean, the party wants to claim that to prove that the Western Cape is the best, look at the numbers, 150,000 people a year are moving there, as if in Gauteng, which is the most populous province now, doesn't have the majority of people moving here. Migration happens here too. Gauteng's economy is one of, in the top four, top five, or top six on the continent. So give us your thoughts on 011-883-0702. You can send us your WhatsApps on 072-702-1702. Professor Derek Kotzier is a professor of political science at UNISA. Thank you for joining us, Prof. I appreciate your time. Good morning.
Good morning, Clement. Thank you very much.
We also have Bazima Shilowa, who's a political commentator. He's the former Gauteng Premier and former COSATU Secretary General. Mr. Shilowa, thank you for also joining us. Good morning.
Thanks, Clement, and good morning to the professor.
Now, just for the benefit of our listeners who haven't heard what John Steenhuisen has been saying, here's how he's justified the comments he's recently made.
The biggest risk to continued progress, to continued opportunity and building a better future for all of us in this province is complacency and mercenary parties like the PA, like Rise Mzansi, like Good and like the NCC. Because they're not interested in taking on the ANC. Why aren't they campaigning in Limpopo and the Northwest Province? Why are they coming to the Western Cape? Why are they coming here to try and unseat the only government that created 300,000 jobs last year? Why are they coming here to the only government that arrested through its LEAP program over 27,000 criminals in the last year? Why are they coming here to an economy that's working, with schools that work, that give opportunities for more people, with public transport systems that work? Why here? Why not they're focusing their attention on the real enemy of progress in South Africa, which is the ANC?
All right. Professor Kotzier, your understanding of what he says, does he have a point about these smaller parties?
You know, I think one must, before I give you the direct answer, I must first of all, it happened in the Western Cape, in Paarl specifically. So really was, his audience was West, people from the Western Cape, and you could hear from the response also there that they were, in a sense, in support of him. But it's not. This is not the only time he said that, but I think this is now the latest and the one which draws most attention or attracts most attention for what he's saying. I think that the problem of the DA, first of all, this is election speak. You know? So they talk not in term in a nuanced form. They talk in the most direct, the most simplified form. So what he possibly could have qualified and so on, he didn't. But that I accept, and I accept it of all political parties, that's how parties talk when it comes to, or during times of elections.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem for the DA, specifically in the Western Cape, is that they've been now for a long time in power there, almost too long, I would say, like any other party. After 10 years, it becomes, red lights go on for me.
Mm-hmm.
It becomes too long. But it is, what has happened now is that both the ANC and the DA has lost significant support in the Western Cape. And for the DA, it's obviously more dramatic, more concerning, because they are the governing party. And they've lost specifically the support of so-called colored parties. And although Drazen Zanzi is not necessarily focused in that area, Action SA also not, I think, first of all, he's frustrated that they are not mm-hmm. part of the multi-party charter. And I think this is his way in which he sort of retaliates against them. Secondly, they effectively is fragmenting an important component of the DA support. Their own problem is that they are too small and they don't want to talk with each other. They don't want to stand together in order to form an alternative for the ANC, lesser for the DA, the ANC is not such a big factor, and the EFF there. And I think this is what is behind this,
okay.
is that they know they are losing support, and it is among a very wide spectrum of parties who are, whether it's, as you say, the PA, Gatfol, Capetonians, Cape Exit, and you can name them.
Yes, yeah. Mr. Shiloa, I mean, the posture is changing a bit. I feel like they've dropped the EFF for now as, you know, public enemy number one. They're now going after Rise Mzansi. And I wonder if they've got internal polling that's telling them something we don't know.
Yes, Clement. Let me start somewhere. You know, in 1992, during the CODESA negotiations, one of the reasons why you have that situation that allows for all parties to contest, where you have this issue of proportional representation, so that whether you represent specific interests, be they race, be they workers or whatever, you have a chance to be there. The DA, the DP then, was one of the parties at the forefront of championing. They felt it was important rather than to exclude. Now, I am surprised that suddenly a party that, according to liberalism, is about open contestation of ideas, in which the best ideas win and you are more inclusive, they suddenly say, go and campaign everywhere else, but we, because we are the official opposition nationally, even though we are the government in the Western Cape, don't contest for us. It's not going to happen. They need to be contested, and it doesn't matter whether the small parties are taking voters from the DA or from the ANC. All that matters is what is the offering on the table. Mm-hmm. And if the DA is as successful as it claims to be, it needn't worry, because mm-hmm. its work, its actions will speak for itself. But I found it not only illiberal, from where I sit, as someone who grew up in Limpopo,
mm-hmm.
who look at someone like Songezo, who is from the Eastern Cape, the notion of why don't they go and campaign there? It's like, no, not in our backyard.
Professor Kotsie, I want us to maybe take some time to look at the numbers. When the DA says this, then there's a suggestion that that's possibly because they are feeling this pressure from the smaller parties. What are the numbers telling us? So, for instance, in 2009, they won the Western Cape with about 51%. That rose to about 59% in 2014. And then it drops to 55% or so in 2019. There's an Ipsos poll late last year that was released that puts the DA support in the upcoming elections at only 44% in the Western Cape and suggested that there was a possibility of a coalition government in the province. Is that what the DA is responding to here? And what's been the reason for, if really Ipsos has got it right here, what's the reason for what seems to be a decline in support?
Yeah, I tend not to look at percentages, but rather trends of opinion polls. So whether it's 44 or 48 or 50, there is certainly a decline in the DA support in the Western Cape. And as I said in the first response, it is as a result of their decline, especially amongst the colleagues community. And we must remember the Western Cape goes up past Beaufort West. It's not only about Cape Town and the area throughout Cape Town. It's a huge province and a very diverse province. The West Coast, for example, looks very different from the Southern Cape, looks very different from the Karoo, and looks very different from the peninsula around Cape Town. So it's a very difficult province in order to campaign and to develop the majority there. So, for example, in the Karoo, the Patriotic Alliance is doing well. And Gayton McKenzie has for a year actually been the mayor of the Central Karoo municipality. So the DA feels that they've lost support in critical areas, they are getting closer and closer to the 50% mark. So that is why I think this is this dramatic sort of position that John Steenhuisen is taking. At the same time, those parties that you are referring to, he actually want, as I said earlier on, he was very trying to persuade them to join them, but because not they didn't do it, I think this is a thorn in his flesh, and therefore this quite strong response to them.
Yeah.
In the case of the Patriotic Alliance, it's slightly different because the Patriotic Alliance was part of the DA's coalition, for example, here in Tshwane and in other places also, then move over to the ANC. And then, so those that he is criticizing, the smaller parties like Goods, like Al-Jamal, like the Patriotic Alliance, are actually involved in coalition agreements or coalition formations at local government level in places like Johannesburg, for example.
Mm.
So I think that's part of his criticism. It's an indirect also sort of attack or criticism of the ANC and its allies.
Yeah. I was looking at the election results. Wayne Suzman always does an incredible job in analyzing the by-elections. And you can see the DA has been losing ground in George, in some parts of the Cape Winelands, Paarl, in Malmesbury, and these are areas that are, you know, high population areas, relatively high population areas. So maybe it does make sense why John Steenhuisen is so scared. Mr. Shiloa, there's a claim that these people are coming here because all they want to bring, these smaller parties, is corruption. The Western Cape is best in delivering services. There was a claim that, in fact, 150,000 people a year are moving there. So if really you want to claim that the Western Cape is not best run, why are people migrating so much to the Western Cape? Are the numbers right that more and more people move really to the Western Cape?
He's talking hogwash, man, Clement. I think the reality is, if you look, and you just have to take Stats SAA's they will show you, number one, that the majority of people who are moving from one province to another or from outside of the country to another province, number one is Gauteng, then KZN, and I think the Western Cape may be the third. What is referring to is the top echelons, people with money who want to go and buy properties, say in Bishop's Court and Fresenhef and all of those. Those people will be migrating there. Secondly, Gauteng, I think, is the fourth largest economy in Africa after South Africa. And so those things are not there. I think as the professor there is saying, the real issue is, number one, he's feeling the pressure. So he was hoping, one, that they will join his multi-party charter. And I'll come back to just something I had said earlier.
Yeah.
And of course, they didn't join. But also, he's being disingenuous. I can tell you now, Clement, if the ANC at a national level goes below 40, let's say 50%, and the better way, both in terms of the funders and the markets, is that they think that the DA and the ANC should tie up together. Forget about the ANC being this devil. The DA will be up there with the ANC. So it's more like saying, yes, but at the moment I'm trying hard to get, and I think because I'm trying hard to get Mzansi and others, because they are not wanting to come up with me, they may be wanting to come up with the very same bride that I'm really looking at. But also for me, what I find galling, and based on the point I was saying, even though it's politicking, he has not said what is the Freedom Front doing in the Western Cape, when in fact they'll be taking from some of his core constituencies. But he has said something about Action SAA, which is part of the multi-party charter. But I guess, as I say, you know, it's not in the same category as the Freedom Front. So yes, there's politicking, but I think there's panic and also an element of stereotyping. These are our people. They are no our people. They are voters. You go out and earn it. If he thinks Khayelitsha is the best, let him go and say to the people of Khayelitsha, forget about what Akolile says, forget about what Gayton says and everybody. Here is the work that we have been doing for you. And when I was in government in Gauteng, it didn't bother me what the DA was saying. I knew I could go to the community and say to them, this is what we have done.
Mm.
That is how you deal with elections. I wouldn't be bothered by party. If you think they won't do anything, they'll get 1% or something. Don't worry about them. Worry about the EFF. Mm. Worry about the ANC. And even then, don't mention those people. Mention why people must vote for you.
Mm-hmm. Professor Kotse, is this going to have any kind of impact on the Democratic Alliance? Do you think this is appealing to the voters? What's your reading?
Well, you know, I think that the big problem for the voters are going to be on the day of the election is that they will have actually very few, it sounds like a contradiction, but actually very few options.
Mm.
Because there is the DA, which is the majority or the biggest party, the ANC, who is the second biggest, but in decline, the EFF, this is the weakest province for the EFF in the country. So they are not such a factor in the Western Cape. And then these parties that we are talking about. So the problem will be, you know, let's say for argument's sake, the DA goes below 50%. Then they don't have really coalition partners because all the parties are going to be small. And I think that this is the dilemma of the Western Cape for the post-election period, is how to establish something which is going to be, if the DA loses its majority, and that's obviously still must be, we must see that. But that's going to be the main problem. The other issue for the DA is that Gauteng has overtaken the DA in the Western Cape as the biggest component of the DA nationally. So there is also, I think, within the DA, this concern that it's not of the DA in the Western Cape, and it includes, because historically that was their strongest province, that they are losing that influence within the DA. So it's also about internal DA matters that I think that are important, because there is a bit of provincialism, whether they will acknowledge it or not, but that is indeed the case. The fact that John Steenhuisen comes from KwaZulu-Natal is, in a sense, assisting them to avoid it, that it is sort of focused within right at the top. But the role that Alan Zille, for example, is playing is pushing very much for the Western Cape to recover some of the losses within the DA. And I think this is something that we must also take into account when we look at what is the performance of the DA in the Western Cape compared to other provinces.
Yeah. And Bazima Shilo, what do you think the impact is of all this messaging and approach on the Democratic Alliance? What does it communicate to voters?
Yes, and you know, my view, and this applies not just to the DA, it applies across the board. Especially, at least let me just confine it to the ANC and the DA. There is a core constituency, which it doesn't matter what the ANC or the DA does, they will always vote for them. And I think what Steenhuisen is trying to do is to appeal to that swing vote in the Western Cape, in the DA, which, yes, voted the DA, but is also disillusioned. And therefore, thinks this may go to any of the smaller parties. And that, therefore, if we were to scare them, to say, you know, this is going to be doomsday, you will lose the little that is good, that you think is bad. He's hoping they will. But I don't think it will have a major impact either way. I think people who have decided we are not sticking with the DA, we are not sticking with the ANC. The only dilemma, as the professor there says, they are trying to see, of the smaller ones, which one do they vote for, and how do they justify it?
Bazima Shiloa and Professor Dirk Kotsia, thank you so much for making time for us.
The Dialogue with Clement Maniatela.
It's not just another roundtable discussion.
Let's walk the talk on 702.
All right, let's listen to the voice notes that have come through and go to your calls, and then bring in Rise Mzansi and the Patriotic Alliance.
Clement Ajabu speaking here. Look, Clement, a South African voter is quite peculiar, and they have an appetite for the new parties, because these bigger parties are a bore. You know, they speak too much and they're doing nothing for a voter. And an average South African might as well try the new party and see what they've got.
Hi, Clement. Johnny from Jameson. Okay, two things. One, John has no right to tell anybody or any party where they can go in campaign for voting. That's absolutely rubbish. Two, I totally agree. Small parties should be banned. They're not here to serve the people, because they got nothing to offer to the people. They have to get a vote, get a seat, get a fat salary, doing absolutely nothing.
Morning, Clement. I don't agree with Steenhuisen. He's very, very wrong. However, I don't waste my vote by this, voting for these small parties. Yeah, I think it's a waste of time. But that's how I feel. Yeah, I feel that they are creating job work for themselves and not doing anything for the people on the ground. That's Veronica from Springview.
Sandy, you're calling us from Parkhurst. Good morning.
Hi. So my point is just to ask the participants in the discussion, the guests on your show, as to, you know, what do they see, yes, it's election season and yes, people are campaigning, but what could be the collateral damage in terms of inter-party reacting to divisive comments? Because we all know we need to work towards achieving a democratic dispensation that serves all people in South Africa and an inclusive South Africa where everybody has opportunity to participate in a new democracy that works to deliver a country that is prosperous for all. So just in terms of that, I'd like to just know what purpose does it serve, as much as parties want to stand firm on their manifesto? And just also, how do they see this diverting from actually presenting the tangibles of their plan of action should they gain a seat in Parliament? Thanks.
Sandy in Parkhurst, thank you for your call.
The Dialogue with Clement Manyathela.
It's not just another roundtable discussion.
Let's walk the talk on 702.
All right, let's bring in the political parties. Let's start with Makashule Ghana, who is the chief organizer for Rise Mzansi. Makashule, thanks for making time. Good morning.
Good morning to you, Clement, and good morning to all your listeners. It's an honor, it's a privilege for us to be here.
What do you think is behind this approach that John Steenhuisen has taken towards political parties, particularly Rise Mzansi? Because he's been going after you guys recently quite a lot.
So as Rise Mzansi, the way we see it is that the work of our volunteers, the work of our organizers on the ground is being seen, is being felt, and the voters are responding positively to our message that we need new leaders. And we must be clear that the vote that Rise Mzansi represents are the ones that have been failed and neglected by the DA, by the ANC, by the EFF. Those are the votes that move towards Rise Mzansi. So we see this as like it's an unnecessary thing. Actually, maybe it's an attempt to try to bully us into not doing what the voters of South Africa ask of us whenever we go to communities. As I speak to you right now, I'm actually in Soshanguve, wherein people are talking about the neglect by the DA-led city of Tshwane. So we cannot sit back and pretend that there are no South Africans that feel neglected, that feel that the DA has failed them, that feel that the ANC has failed them. And it's our responsibility to represent those voices as well. And that's why Rise Mzansi came to be.
Mm-hmm. Charles Cilia is the head of strategy at the Patriotic Alliance. Charles, thanks for also making time. Good morning.
Good morning, Clement.
Your thoughts on what John Steenhuisen has said?
I think there's so much to unpack from it. It's clear that the DA is scared of losing their majority. And it's very sad that they feel that they have to play this card now, because it needs to be, I've listened to what your previous analysts had to say, and I agree with a lot of what they're saying. The DA needs to stand on what it offers and not come with basically a swart kafar, which is what this is boiling down to. And John does sound a little pathetic, to be honest. I mean, he sounds like he's bleating there like sort of a spoiled child to say, oh, why are you coming, you know, into my backyard and coming to play with my toys? And unfortunately, they don't own the Western Cape. They have a sense of ownership over it, and it's very rich coming from a party that was started by Tony Leon or was managed in its early days of democracy by Tony Leon that got 1-2% of the vote in 1994. Now, imagine if the NP back then, which was one of the primary players in the Western Cape, had an attitude like that to say, oh, how can you have this popcorn party of Tony Leon coming here and splitting the vote and taking our vote from us? Where would the DA be today, right? So I hear what people are saying, oh, they're just small parties and I'm not going to waste my vote. But if the current parties don't offer the solutions to many of the problems that we feel they are not solving, then what can you do? You can either join those parties and hope to reform those parties and hope that by doing that you're going to get them to take a policy direction that you feel is going to work. Or you can do what we've done and start a new party and say, listen, we have our own solutions. We have our own approach. We want to do this. Please vote for us. Maybe we won't get a 50% majority first time around, but we want to get into government. We want to show what we can do, even if it means working in a coalition. And I'd like to just correct what some of your analysts said earlier about us not wanting to join the multi-party coalition. We were actually the first party of the PA to put up our hand and say, no, we're willing to work with this MPC. And we're even willing to leave all the ANC coalitions that we're currently a part of. And we've actually tried to work with the DA. And unfortunately, what you see here with what John is doing is he's actually betraying to the people of South Africa the attitude that the DA has, that if they are not the big boys and they're the bully boys in the room and they don't get everything they want just the way they want it all the time, then they throw their toys out of the cot. And if you come to them and you say, actually, this is a coalition and we would like a compromise that leaves everybody happy, not just the PA happy, or Action SA or Freedom Front or the DA happy, but everybody happy. We were in a situation in Johannesburg where all the parties that were part of that coalition wanted to do what we and Action SA were suggesting. And it was only the DA that didn't want to do it. And because the DA wasn't happy, that entire coalition crumbled and Mpho Palatse lost the mayorship.
Yeah.
And we tried four times to fix it. So it shows you the attitude of the DA.
Yeah.
That it's so, our way or the highway.
Yeah. Makashule, what are you offering in the Western Cape? What do you think the DA has failed to do that Rise Mzansi says, vote for us? Because part of what John Steenhuisen says is, this is a province that works. People are migrating here. The economy is doing well. Jobs are being created. Services are being provided. You've been campaigning there. Where do you think the DA has been failing? What are you offering as Rise Mzansi?
The province of the Western Cape works for certain people. So I can't be here and say that there are people who don't feel that the province works. But there are many other residents of with the Western Cape that don't feel that the DA that has been in government for 15 years, because one thing that we must not forget is that the DA has been in government for 15 years, actually 17 years if you count the years in the coalition in 1999. So there are many people who feel that no, they are not receiving the kind of services from the provincial government, that their living conditions, whether you are in Dunoon, whether you are in Khayelitsha, whether you're in Manenberg, you're in Mitchells Plain, that they feel that their living conditions is actually regressing. And what we seek to do as Rise Mzansi is to represent those South Africans that feel that the DA government in the Western Cape has neglected them, has failed them. Those that say, you know what, we live in fear here because of the gang violence in here. Those that feel that they see the threats that are presented that says there are jobs in the Western Cape, but they've been unemployed for more than 10 years. We represent those single mothers that says we cannot afford to raise our children in this kind of environment, even though the stats, the PR might indicate otherwise. But myself, as a resident here, I don't feel that all these things that are being said has accrued to me. Those are the people that Rise Mzansi seeks to represent. And one thing, Clement, that people must always know is that over 45% of the residents of the Western Cape don't feel represented by the DA in any case. That's the result of the 2019 elections. So people cannot come and claim here as if 90% of the people of the Western Cape agrees with their propaganda and their PR.
Okay, Makashule Kana and Charles Cilia from the Patriotic Alliance, Makashule from Rise Mzansi. Thank you for popping in. After the break, I'm going to go to your calls to hear your views and your WhatsApp voice.
702.
WhatsApp Clement
on 072
702
1702.
Good morning, Clement. Based on what Mr. Steenhuisen said, it's 2024, yet instead of recruiting voters for the DA, he's doing exactly what few years ago Professor Somadota Fikeni said, the DA is busy inflicting damage to itself in a corner instead of taking advantage of what's going around. I mean, if we look at the other polls, the ANC is not doing well. They should be focusing on themselves instead of highlighting other parties, including smaller parties. Thanks, Dima.
Good morning, Clement. I do agree with John Steenhuisen. We are all gutful of the misery that the ANC has visited on us. So if I was a smaller party, I would go and fish in Limpopo and Mpumalanga so that we can rid the South Africa of ANC shackles. Self-serving is what comes to mind as far as this small parties are concerned, and Johannesburg Council is an example. All they're interested in is mayorship and positions, and the rest go to hell. It is a doomsday coalition in Johannesburg, and that, I think, is what John Steenhuisen is referring to.
Morning, Clement. I hold no brief for John Steenhuisen or his party, the DA. However, I understand where John Steenhuisen is coming from, and I disagree with you there that he's being illiberal, because I don't think he's denying those smaller parties their right to exist. I think all he's saying is that by them not joining up with the multi-party charter to oust the a possible coalition between the ANC, EFF and MK, they are actually siding, or rather maintaining, the status quo of the ANC in power. Thanks. Farai.
Hi, Clement. In Mkhondo, you see, the Good Party and PA, and to a lesser extent, Rise Mzansi and Action SA, are the parties that will pose a serious threat for the DA in the Western Cape. That is why Mr. Steenhuisen is scrambling and saying all those things that he is saying, because he's afraid that the Western Cape may be in danger. And indeed, I think it is in danger. You need to make peace with these parties and convince them to join his moonshot pack. If he doesn't, the Western Cape is going. Thank you.
Thank you for your WhatsApp voice notes, your input.